Good morning, ECF. Thank you to the worship team for an amazing set. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Yeah, welcome to the last service of our year. I mean, I can't believe it. I'm absolutely shocked. Where did it all go? I feel like the older you get, the faster time seems to fly by. Hey. I don't know. for me, things still feel like the whole year was a month. But I think maybe for you guys it feels like a week or so, you know. I'm just kidding. These past 2 weeks, I preached last week, but I've had this message in mind for a while, because I knew I could choose pretty much whatever I liked, as long as it was sort of a New Year's message. So I've been thinking about this for some time, and I know most people are reflecting on the past and thinking of the future. I know they are evaluating, thinking of what they could do differently or where they might head, New Year's resolutions and whatnot. So there wasn't a shortage of things that I could have chosen. I sincerely prayed and thought very hard, what would God lead me to open up this morning as we think of the new year? What does God want me to open up? What does God want to speak into our lives as we process, as we reflect? What would he give us in the scriptures? What reminder would he lay on our hearts to prepare us for 2019? I prayed, and I believe the Lord has faithfully led me to a passage that I truly hope and trust will be an encouragement and a challenge to all of us. So please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 12, and we'll be reading from verse 28. I'll read it and pray, because I need all the help I can get. Chapter 12 of Mark, and we'll be reading from verse 28. Hear the word of the Lord. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked of him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Let's pray. Lord, as we have this word before us, I sincerely ask for your help and strength, for your grace and mercy, that you would open our hearts to hear this word, that the Spirit would illumine the word for us, that you'd remove distractions, stresses, anxieties, that we would be focused on your word, that you'd open our hearts, Lord. Bring up into our hearts what it is that you want us as individuals to know, Lord. May you speak to all of us personally today through this word. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week, as I was preparing, I came across an article. It was one of these New Year's articles that a lot of these Christian blogs post. And it said this. It said, "Could any single New Year focus be more important than doing whatever it takes to hear from God himself? Hearing God's voice gets at the heart of what it means to be human," he continues. God made us for more than just listening to him, but not for less. To help us get to the point, God dug two holes in the sides of our head so that even when we are too weak to act, too weak to walk, too weak to reach, too weak to speak, even too weak to watch or to read, words might travel into our heads and down into our hearts. Of all the possible directions we are pulled this time of year for fresh resolutions about health and finances and lifestyle, no resolutions hold greater potential for life change and eternal good than fresh resolves to consistently put ourselves within earshot of God's voice. Is there any more pressing question as a human, as a Christian, than how will I hear God's voice in 2019? I thought that was great. But I didn't necessarily disagree with the sentiment being shared there. I knew what the writer meant, but I couldn't help but question a little what he was saying. Especially as I read Mark chapter 12, verses 30 to 31. The most important one is this: love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I went and I actually rewrote this little blurb. I rewrote it, I edited it, I adapted it, I changed it slightly in light of Mark chapter 12. And this is sort of the revised version. Could any single New Year focus be more important than doing whatever it takes to love God himself? Loving God and loving others gets to the heart of what it means to be human. God made us for more than just simply listening. He made us to love him. He made us to be in a real intimate relationship with him. He made us for love. To help us get to the point, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who dug holes in his hands and his feet and hung on a cross so that when we were too weak to act, too weak to walk, too weak to obey, too weak to obey the letter of the law, too weak to pray, too weak to read, even sometimes too weak to love, his love might travel into our heads and down into our hearts, and we might know that he loves us. Of all the possible directions that we are being pulled into this time of year for fresh resolutions about health and finances and lifestyle, no resolution holds greater potential for life change and eternal good than fresh resolves to consistently pursue the one who loved us first by dying the death that we deserved. Is there any more pressing question as a human, as a Christian, than how will we love God in 2019? Personally, I think that sounds a whole lot better. Not because I wrote it, because it's the same priority as the scripture. It's because that's how I believe God thinks. It's because that's what I believe God's will is for us. I did that to make a point, and I really hope the point was made. Everyone is telling you what to do in 2019. Everyone. Even you yourself are telling you yourself what you should be doing in 2019. And people are heading in all sorts of directions. Life changes are being made. But have you asked yourself what the most important thing is? This morning, as in last week, I just have one point. Not formal breakdown, not lessons, not 10 do this, how to steps, just one thing. And it's the title of my sermon. It's this: with a new year comes a new focus. Let it be to love. With a new year comes a new focus. Let it be to love. So as I briefly walk through this passage, I hope to inspire you to see the importance of this command, and I hope to inspire you to think carefully through your New Year's resolutions. As we look at this passage, the context shows us that in the verses just before, Jesus was debating with the Pharisees about the resurrection, and Jesus' authoritative teaching made an impression on a teacher of the law, a Pharisee. And so he asks, what is the most important law? Traditionally, the scribes spoke of 613 individual commandments of the Mosaic law, and they believed all of them were binding, they all assumed a distinction between weightier and lighter laws. And often it was attempted by them in debate which was more important than the other of this weighty, heavy, long list of laws. In light of this debate, this Pharisee, this law teacher, comes to Jesus and he says, What kind of commandment is more important, first, superior, better than all the rest? Now, I'm not sure what the Pharisees' motives are for why they want to know what is the most important. Why is this a heated debate that they have? I'm not sure. I can't speak to what the Bible doesn't speak to. It's not clear in our passage. But it's not hard to guess that for men whose entire lives revolve around the law, it's not hard for me to guess why it is that they want to know what's more important. Should I eat pork or should I sacrifice? You know, of course, I'm human. I need to know what's most important. I need to focus on that, and maybe that'll be enough. Maybe that'll be enough to be good enough. Maybe that'll please the Lord. But Jesus answers something radically surprising in his day, something that I think no one actually suspected, even though it's become common to us, this passage. We know it. But I think it was radical. Jesus answers to love God and others, as simple as that, right? It's not really simple. Jesus' answer doesn't simply list another two laws to be added to the 613. Jesus summarizes all that the law was intended to do. Those 613 laws, he summarizes God's true motive, God's intention for all of them, what he desired to see in each and every one of them. He goes straight to the heart. He didn't tell them what to do and what not to do. He told them what to feel as they did it. A commentary helped me at this point. Literally, Jesus commands them, love the Lord your God. And it calls us for voluntary, not obligated, not forced, voluntary commitment to God. A type of commitment that is personal, comprehensive, and wholehearted. It calls for an inner desire, a longing that consistently seeks to make God a part of every aspect of your being. This is emphasized by the words that come after love the Lord your God. Words with are repeated, with this, out of. What is the source of this love? The source of this love should be out of all of your heart, your soul, all of it, all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. That should be the source of this love. Your entire being must be involved. Heart, the control center of your life and your life direction, your loves, your hates, those things you treasure, those things only you know, those things you only share with one or two people your entire life, your heart, personal, your soul, maybe your self-conscious life, your mind, your thought capacity, your studying, your thinking, your reading. And of course, your strength, your bodily powers and your abilities, every aspect. Then, of course, it continues to love your neighbor, the one who is nearby you every day, who is on your path of life, the one you meet and greet and spend time with, the one you come across, your fellow man. Love him in the same way that you love yourself. Perfect command, because we tend to love ourselves very much. We tend to think of ourselves very much. So in the same way that you think of yourself, as consistently and as many times a day as you do that, do it for others. Do it for others. Now look at verse 34 of chapter 12. This is what caught my attention. Jesus gives that answer, and there's no fault to be found in his answer. So impressed, this law teacher repeats Jesus' words exactly, but he adds something that Jesus didn't say. He adds, these are more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. This caught my attention. It was odd. It stood out. The man's addition is what led Jesus to say, verse 34, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." These words are what led Jesus to say and think he answered wisely. Because the man's response to say that these things are more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices is him essentially saying, everything that we've devoted our lives to, all the animals we've slaughtered, everything I've given up, all the offerings I've given, all the money I've given away, none of that matters if these two first laws are truly fulfilled. If I don't love him and love others, nothing I've done matters really to the Lord. He's wise to realize that these must be felt for anything else to matter. This is what leads Jesus to say, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Because love, intimacy, relationship, devotion, these things always trump cold, bland, ritualistic checklists and laws. Love beats going through the motions. Love beats, "I do it because my parents did it." A heart of love on the inside beats an external show of extravagance on the outside any day of the week. True love beats mere obligation. Jesus, the Lord, didn't give 613 laws so that he could stand at the end of the day with Israel before him and check off which ones they did and didn't do. Because the intention of these were always meant to come out of a heart of sincere love for God and others. And the problem is we all have rituals. We aren't living like Pharisees live. We don't put on our tassels and don't grow our beard and don't eat shellfish. But we still have rituals. We still have habits. By nature, we are creatures of habit. We have routines. We read and pray. We attend church and Bible studies. We help where help is needed. We give very generously sometimes. And we even try our very best to pursue holiness with long lists of do's and don'ts. We live in routines. We have our own rituals. How many of us in the past or are now currently planning to make New Year's resolutions, not realizing that it's another law added to the list, another ritual, another obligation, another thing I'm just trying to do to be a good Christian? Really need to be a good Christian this year. I've been such a bad Christian. I'm not discouraging these things. It's not my heart. I'm not saying Bible reading is bad, prayer is bad. By all means, pursue prayer, holiness, Bible study, etc. Pursue these things. But as we enter into the new year, the word of the Lord encourages us to question our motives again, to question our heart's intent again. Check on your heart. Are these things becoming empty rituals? Are these things becoming things that must be done because otherwise? Or is your heart so full of love that your entire being desires to love him with a heart and a soul of love? Your body desires to help with all its strength. Studying his word, helping. This is a serious question because from the outside it all looks the same. From the outside it all looks the same. Devotion looks the same everywhere. But the heart, no one can see the heart except for the Lord. I can't see the heart. I can't sit here and say, well, past 2018, this was the most devoted fellow, because that person's heart can be wicked and far from the Lord, far from the Lord and cold. It's what I have to watch myself most intently for. Because I stand here most weeks. I serve here. And I seem I seem devoted and loving towards my Lord, hey? It all looks the same. If my heart's not in the right place, I could just be here to impress you all. The Lord knows. That's why this is such a serious question. That's why it's more important than anything else you might think of as you head into 2019. We could be doing a whole lot, but what stands behind all that we do? Is it love or is it obligation? Is it love or is it ritual? Is it real or is it fake? Here's the most important thing you need to notice about this story. Yes, this man answered Jesus wisely. Yes, God is more important than all these and all sacrifices. Yes, they're empty without the Lord. And yes, he is not far from the kingdom of God. But the reality is this. He might be close, but it doesn't mean he's in. Hey? He might be close, but it doesn't mean he might be millimeters from the answer. He still isn't in. He was close. But Jesus didn't say, you're in the kingdom of God. He said, you're close to the kingdom of God. I think being close is more dangerous than being very far away. Because being close is where all the danger lies. It's where we start thinking everything's fine. Everything's good. Everything's well. And we slowly drift off. You see, Jesus knew this man was close. But he understood, and this man understood what was required of him. That's why he was so close. But he doesn't seem to know how to make this law a reality in his own heart. He acknowledges what he must do. He's a Pharisee after all. He says, yes, amen. Guess what I'm going to go do after this, Jesus? I'm going to go fulfill these two laws. But there seems to be a disconnect. He doesn't seem to know how exactly this happens. How exactly does he move beyond merely doing it and actually having Jesus and God, the treasure of his heart? How does he love God with all that he is? He didn't know how to fulfill this law, but he was going to try. He was going to try. But he still didn't have it. He wasn't in. So how does one fulfill the most important law of all? How does one love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself? How does one do that? The answer is going to come across as a bit of an anticlimax, but it should be a relief to all of us. You can't. You cannot do it. It is impossible. We cannot fulfill these two very important laws. You can try, and you might get very close, but you won't get in. Because that is how sin has distorted our hearts. That is how infected we are at our core. That we were designed for love, but we cannot. Martin Luther famously said, our hearts are idol factories. We incessantly replace the Lord with something else, and we love it more than we love him. We are forever churning out worldly idols that love God more. This man was close, and he did understand the real nature of what was expected of him. So close, but so far. The Gospel of Mark, however, presents us with another way to enter the kingdom of God. The whole story leads up to the crescendo of what Mark is trying to tell us. In chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must come and suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribe and be killed, so that after 3 days he might rise again. Then in chapter 10, verse 45, just two chapters before here, where we are now, Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. See, the way is narrow and the gate is small that leads to eternal life. Because there's only one way. It's Jesus. Jesus' life is the only life in all of history that has ever lived fully for God in every way. If we read the gospel account of his life, in every way he loved Jesus with heart, soul, mind, and strength. He loved him the way we were supposed to love him. He never doubted. His mind never doubted. His heart's allegiance was never even close to being swayed. And of course, he loved his neighbor more than he loved himself, because he gave up his very life. He gave it up so that you could live. He didn't die to save good people. That's what makes it remarkable. He didn't die to save his bestie. Not at all. He died to save wretched, wicked sinners who hated him, the ones who actually killed them. He died for them, the ones who were jabbing him, nailing him to the cross. That's what makes it remarkable. He didn't die to save good people. He died to save us. And because we are so wicked, it is the ultimate declaration of love for the neighbor. Through his death, we find that we have eternal life. We enter the kingdom of God in his name, with his righteousness being given to us by faith, by trusting in his way, not our own way. And that is the only way. You might be thinking, Johan, you know, that's great. You never told me how I can actually love him with all my heart, soul, and mind and strength. You only told me Jesus did it for me. Well, I hope you don't miss the point. Don't be like the Pharisee. Don't go into 2019 fixated on what you must do. Don't go into 2019 fixated on how you must impress him again, how you must be something for him, how you aren't good enough for him, how you're always failing. You need more structure, you need more lists, you need to get up earlier. Those things will exhaust you, and they'll only get you close. They won't get you in. Don't miss the point here. If you want your heart to be filled with wholehearted devotion, it starts and ends with Jesus. Because your heart has to be filled with gratitude. Such a powerful gratitude that the Spirit will impress on your heart that it will change your life entirely. It must be filled with awe and wonder at what it is that Christ has already done for you, how he loved you, and how he did everything that is necessary for you. C.S. Lewis famously said, "Actions of love lead to feelings of love. Actions of love lead to feelings of love." I came across this in my marriage counseling with my wife, and it's a valuable lesson. Actions of love lead to feelings of love. When I do things to show my wife that I love her, when I talk to her, surprise her, clean the house for her, study my wife to know her likes and her dislikes, when I do these things, my love grows for her. I get to know her. It's a real, intimate relationship. When I do nothing, my love withers, and it will die if I continue to do nothing. We need to convince our hearts that God is truly worth treasuring above and beyond everything else, because if we don't, it won't happen. Actions of love lead to feelings of love, but here is the most important action of love you can do to convince your heart that God is to be supremely valued. Here is how you actually love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You look to the cross where Jesus suffered, bled, and died. You look at your own sin and you remember who you really are, and you remind yourself that he died for you, that you might have life, and you didn't deserve it 1 cent. 1%, you didn't deserve it. And then you look back at the cross and you never let anything take its place, ever. You fight for it, because anything and everything will try and remove it from your eyesight. That is the action of love that will lead to feelings of love for you, even if you don't feel it right now. I'm sure there are many other things I could say, but really, loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength starts and ends with Jesus. If you want your heart to be more filled with love, you have to dive into the gospel. You have to dive into the gospel. Think upon his love. Think upon it in the light of your sin, and seek him, knowing that he has done everything to have a relationship with you. Share a meaningful relationship with him. Open your heart to him. When last have you sat in a room and actually laid out your heart for God? Because that's the intimacy that Christ attained for you and I with him. Because we are his children and he is our dad now. When last have you gotten to just all those worries and anxieties, everything that's wrong with your life, everything that bothers you, anything and everything? When was the last time you actually just got it all off your chest, alone in a room with your God, Father, listening to you? This is the relationship that God calls us to. This is what he desires from us. It's real. It's not fake. It's real. And I'm speaking to everyone as I close off. I'm speaking to everyone. Because as I stand here, I know that it's the mature Christians who struggle. It's not the ones who've just gotten saved or the ones who are on their way. It's the ones who've been on this road for a while who need to hear this. I'm speaking to myself because I've been there. Your relationship grows cold because you forget the basics. You forget the basics. And I'm saying this sincerely with all the love in my heart. It's those who have done this for a long time who forget this. As I end off, really, this is what I'm saying. Maybe you've already thought of changes you'd like to make in your life in 2019. But let me ask you, have you asked yourself how I can better love God and my neighbor? Have you stopped and asked yourself how you're doing as a follower of Jesus? Really? Before you ask, how can I lose weight? Has your relationship with the Lord died? Is it something that just needs to get done? Because if it is, I sincerely would like to pray with you. Not sincerely would like to help you. Sincerely would like you to take this word and heed it. Hear it. Because I don't want anyone here to get close. I want us all to get in. Go back to Jesus. This is my New Year's challenge to you. Fixate your heart, your mind, your soul, and all your strength. Fixate all of it on Jesus Christ. In his love and his forgiveness, remembering that he saved you from eternal damnation. Let's remember all that he has done. Let's not try and impress him. Let's live in his love by faith. It's all been done, and let's rest. Let's rest in it. This is a time of rest. It's holiday. Maybe you're not feeling rested. Maybe you're feeling extremely anxious. Rest. Stop. Stop doing it. Rest in him. Let it just rest in him. It's all been done. Let's resolve together as a church to love God and to love our neighbor in 2019. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this word. I truly thank you that it's from you. It's from your word. I truly thank you that you have graciously spoken to us this morning, Lord. In your mercy, you've reminded us of the most important thing, Lord. I praise you that we didn't miss this point like so many. Like so many out there who have been pulled astray by all of these other distractions and things that they must be doing for 2019. I praise you. I sincerely glorify your heavenly name for reminding us of this great and wonderful truth, Lord. Your grace and mercy is evident here to us. My prayer is that we would heed this call, that we would take this seriously, that we would implant this word in our hearts, that we would take it with us, and it would bear fruit. 100-fold. Oh Lord, I pray this all because Jesus has done it all. Amen.